You're listening to the Clear Creek Resources Podcast from Clear Creek Community Church, located in the Bay Area of Houston.
All right, well, welcome to the Clear Creek Resources Podcast. My name is Tanner Smith. I'm your host for today. I'm joined by my friends, Allison Swenson. I said your name weird. I knew that was going to happen. Allison Swenson.
Swenson. I could tell the story Samson about how Knight. It should be Swenson, but it's Swenson.
That's what I've heard. You have relatives that have, we'll get
Let's
into that
see
later.
If you can get our
we'll get into
name.
That later. Oh yeah, what's with the Eastern European names we have? Lindsay Leighton. Leighton is
Finnish
because of Ryan Leighton. Ryan Leighton's here. I'm just saying you have the name because it's fine. Right. We're off right. to a great yeah. start here. My name's Tanner Smith. I think I already said that. We're having a podcast today, a conversation around friendship. So as a church, we started a sermon series called Forging Friendships, which we often joke sounds like foraging friendships. You're never going to hear it the same way again, I promise. It's not. Foraging and forging are two different things.
Yeah, even yeah. though
really. But they could be used. I mean, you could forge friendships like you're in the forest, or you could forge them like in a forge. Like a
Yeah, you could.
You could do That's both.
A
good point.
This is going to be a really fun podcast.
So, started a new sermon series as a way to kind of highlight friendship as a part of the biblical community in which all of us live, the context that all of us live. So, as a church, we value biblical community. It's one of our like core values. We live into that through small group, but kind of. If small group is sort of we sometimes use the language of like a trellis and a vine. So if small group is the structure, we hope that everybody has actual growth of friendship in their lives. So today we're going to talk about some of the struggles around friendship and also some of the joys of it. You guys ready?
Ready.
Okay.
Ready.
And all of us are friends. So this is going to work out really nicely. I'm excited about this. If somebody was at the table that wasn't a friend, that would be kind of challenging.
Yeah.
But we've already had a great time this morning so far.
You're my friend, Ryan.
Good. Thank you. You are mine.
Okay, let's not be weird. Okay, so quick question to start off, because this came up before we hit record. We have a resource on Clear Creek Resources website that we kind of gave out. Actually, it was a part of a sermon application recently.
Yeah, week one.
That's called the Circles of Friendship Exercise, where we invited people through just a printable PDF to write down like 70 names of people that you would call like your acquaintances, and then 12 to 15 people that you call like kind of community, people that you would say you kind of live alongside of on sort of a weekly basis, and then close friends, like we call them 2 a.m. friends. These are 3 to 5 people that you could call in the middle of the night if something was going on. And earlier, someone, I don't remember who, said that was stupid.
That was me.
No, I'm kidding.
People are
going to
think it's me.
Yeah.
But it was not.
Not the whole exercise, just the writing down the 70 acquaintances seemed a little overkill.
Yeah,
I mean, I disagreed.
Okay, so we already got some tension, which is great.
Well, let's see if we can resolve it.
Well, here's the reason that I bring that up is because, first of all, that's a difficult exercise for a lot of people. In fact, I had other people tell me, like, that is like, it's not easy to write down 70 people that I would say to some degree or another I'm a friend with, or I'm friends with. So let's start with that. What does it look like, especially as adults? All of us are middle of our lives, roughly. Some closer to the middle
Tanner's
than others.
A little younger.
wow.
He's calling us old.
No. I didn't say that. I did not say that.
No, you paused to really get the words politically correct for us.
No, I just had to clear my throat for something. It's fine. No, but as adults and when especially on the topic of friendship, I'm curious, like, what are the dynamics of friends we would call acquaintances versus community versus really close friends, and why is it hard to identify some of those? I felt like I learned a lot from doing that. I actually liked the resource, but it's fine.
I did too. I asked my small group to do it because I
liked
thought,
parts of it.
But for me, it was more symbolic, and I think that comes down to personality types. Like if someone, I have women in my group who, if they're given an assignment, they're going to do it.
Yeah.
I do not have that personality type, so I see it as like a symbolic exercise that really emphasizes who are those few.
Right.
So, and that's how I saw it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So not to actually do the work that was on there.
Not
just
to do it. I mean, Brad and I, sorry, Clear Creek. But not to necessarily the literal do it all.
Writing it down.
Because I know from Brad living overseas, from us living all over the place, that I know that group of people.
Yeah.
We have those groups of people. They're Christmas card, you know, type of people. But
Brad is her husband.
Brad is my husband.
And I appreciate you sending out Christmas cards. We stopped that years ago. Yeah.
So, and I don't need them. Let me be clear.
Yeah, I mean, I just
don't keep up.
The addresses, you gotta get stamps.
It is a lot, right?
It just feels like a lot. There's a couple years where we bought them. And they were in a box.
Oh, yeah.
And you know, we never sent them out.
That hurts my heart.
You know, stamps are getting expensive these days.
And after
doing that, for a couple years, like, we're like, all right, we're not even going to do this anymore.
Yeah,
right.
I like it.
My age that I just said Facebook.
Because it's a touch point for us, actually, in friendship. Brad has grew up as a missionary kid, so he still has some of his closest people overseas in the Philippines. And so we actually send cards overseas, get the international forever stamp.
Wow.
There is
one. How much is that stamp?
It's $1.34.
Wow.
And who does it go to?
His friends.
No, I know that. Who does the money for the stamp go to? It's not like
U.S. Postal.
Really? They still get that?
Yeah, they still
Okay, they're not
that.
Sharing that with somebody else?
You're getting
anyway,
off
because
we'll
you
off
bought
topic,
it here in
curious.
The United States, Ryan.
Okay, well, I mean. Okay.
And why are
they
all
using
the post
some of the other like postal infrastructure of the world? But I would assume that
when international stamps are that expensive, anyway. How come post offices aren't
even
nicer?
To Canada,
that's all
guys.
I have to say.
Like we, I have a Canadian roommate that I send cards to.
I'm
touch points.
I love the intentionality here.
Yeah, and that's part
which
of
is something
friendship.
I've learned from Allison.
Yeah, just having those touch points.
Maybe someone can put it down in the comments below.
Yeah, comments about post offices.
But yeah, where it all goes.
That's great.
Because you don't
somebody who works
me.
In the USPS should
We have a robust comment section.
Yes. Yeah, there's a lot of arguments, debates, a lot of friendship that's born there.
Yeah, so that's really important to talk about today is where that postage goes. But this is how friends, this is a really fun.
Banter, friendship
this is,
banter.
This is friendship banter. Like, this is how we kind of are off this, which probably.
Okay, so we're talking about Christmas cards. How many Christmas cards do you send out?
Probably 70.
Oh,
70?
Really? Okay, 120.
120.
Yeah, so I was just making fun of the 70 acquaintances.
And yet,
but she has more than
yeah, well, she has 120 people's addresses, but couldn't fill out the 70.
Yeah,
I didn't want to.
Well, if you're talking about household people, it's quite a few. So way to go.
Yeah.
And that's
I can see
not,
why you didn't fill out the sheet.
Yeah, that's 120 households.
That's all I'm saying.
Okay. No, I'm sorry. But in all seriousness. If you've got 120 families you're sending Christmas cards to as an adult, so this is a lifetime of acquaintances, people from different countries and different parts of the country, that's a huge net of relationships.
Right.
How do you actually have like real relationships with people, like deep friendships? What does that look like? Let's just talk about that for a second as an adult. Because all of us would probably say, whether we filled out the form or not, that we have a large kind of group of acquaintances. Even if we, like somebody said that to me and I thought, well, just think about like the employees that you work with. I mean, you could write just literally people that you see on a weekly basis, but you're like, I'm not really probably going to go have coffee with them or invite them over to my house for dinner necessarily. But they are people that I know their names, maybe I know their spouse's names, and I see on a weekly basis. So when we really all think about it, we do have this large group of acquaintances, but how do we narrow down to friendship? How do you guys approach that?
Were you going to add that we didn't even do this in our small group?
Nope, but you did, so thanks for that.
No, we haven't talked about it
yet. I did love that it was so important, I thought, on that exercise to describe the different levels because I think that helped people. Oh, okay, I do know a lot of people. I have touch points with a lot of people in my day, like just your baseball team or whatever it is. But I think that was a really important piece. For me, it would be experiences together, time together, proximity is a lot of it. Outside of what my kids do, though, I think for me, friendships, finding those few, they're going to be things that we're working on as adults. They are actually outside of the soccer team, or which we have great friends that we've met through those things as well. But for me, it's a mutual adult thing that has to do with us.
Yeah.
Instead of
do you
another
mean like
variable.
When you say outside of your kids' things, do you mean like you're not just doing your kids' things together, but you're hanging out outside of that time?
Yeah, I think so often when we have small kids, our community is based solely around what activities. Our kids' activity does. Yeah. So when that activity ends, what do you do? That's mm-hmm. that can be really sad for some people. So
totally.
So for me, forging relationships as adults in adult with adult mutual interests and mm-hmm. things like that has been pivotal to finding my core grade five.
So have you guys found that to be an easy thing? Like if somebody's listening to this and like, I don't know, maybe they did the exercise and like, I don't know, I couldn't identify the 2 a.m. friends. Like I don't actually have people in my life that I would call in the middle of the night if something was going on. And if I did, I would feel extremely uncomfortable doing that. How do you get 2 a.m. friends?
Yeah, well, I was just, so I'm a therapist with LifeTree Counseling Center, plug.
Oh, shoot, plug, I like that.
But I was actually just having a conversation with, I've had a few conversations with clients since this series has come out. And for a few of them, it has created a lot of anxiety as they write, because when we are writing down names,
yeah.
it is this, it creates a different dynamic of what we're thinking through. And for some of them, it has brought up a feeling of loss of like, I don't have someone right now that I could really put down in that category. And so one of the ways that I've encouraged them is that, well, we can start now.
Yeah.
And so anybody that's listening to this that maybe thinks that exercise was really hard for me because it brought up a lot of feelings of grief, or I didn't feel like I had an answer for that. Like, that's okay. Yeah. Like, God has you here. And there's lots of reasons for that. Sometimes it's hurt. Sometimes it's different seasons of life that we get into that our friendships change. And I know one of the questions on here too, right, is like, what do adult friendships look like?
Yeah.
And I do think they're harder because our bandwidth and our time is shorter.
Right.
And spending time with people is one of the way that you get to know them and you get to grow. So let this also spur you on to knowing that, like, we are always cultivating friendships, and that can happen at any point in your life.
Yeah.
Even if you're feeling a sense of loss in that right now.
Yeah.
And I was going to add, with our group, we had, I would say, 50% of the women in my group could identify and 50 couldn't. And so I loved how you said, if you're listening to this, it is not unusual. That's not,
yeah.
I mean, that is typical.
Yes.
And that could be for a variety of different reasons. You know, you're talking about a feeling of loss. It could be somebody looking back over their life and being like, man, I remember when I had good friends, but then we just drifted apart, or we moved, or it was a job change or whatever. And so even just the overwhelming idea of like, or I guess the idea of starting over with people, that can feel overwhelming because you got to become vulnerable with people. You got to understand it doesn't just happen overnight. It takes, like you used the term cultivating. I mean, it is, it takes time. The raised bed gardens in my backyard, I have not been cultivating, and they're just like a disaster.
Yeah.
And when you don't take the time to go and spend time on relationships, you're not, the fruit of that comes back and is a hot mess.
And culturally, I think we've been told that your childhood friends are it for life. Mm. And that group of five on the movie or the, you know, TV show is like where it ends. And some of my inner circle now, are all from adulthood.
Yeah.
And so there's hope in putting yourself out there. And
this is not like a sisterhood of the traveling pants situation.
No,
for you.
No. And that really makes me sad when people are fearful of getting out there because it's exhausting, it's tiring, you're going to hear things about yourself that are hard, and there's a lot of introspection that needs to happen in adult close friendships, and it's and it can be a lot, and it's easier to not do it.
Yeah, that makes sense. Ryan, question from a different perspective, because I think a lot of times for guys, we just don't think about friendships as much necessarily. Some do. I'm more probably relationally wired in that way, and so I think about it to some degree, although doing that exercise made me realize I'm not nearly as intentional with my friends as I would hope to be. But do you think about, I'll use this term, a best friend? And really what I'm asking, since we're on camera, is am I, you know, am I your best friend? That's what I'm actually asking here.
Best shoot him straight, Ryan.
Shoot him straight. He would like
to. Yeah, no, I don't typically think about who is like
yeah,
my
no, that's cool. I don't either.
Friend.
That's fine. Yeah, it's not a big deal. Yeah.
No,
and
I mean,
no,
I think if
I did, you would not be.
I think probably more, I think that exercise, I mean, I don't usually use the words like 2 a.m. friends in normal yeah. conversation, but it's that same idea. It's like, yeah. who are my closest friends? Who are the ones I'd lean on?
Right.
So, I mean, I guess you could call those best friends.
Yeah.
But I mean, and I think it's changed over time. Like, I think if you were to look at that exercise, probably mm-hmm. most people would say, if I did this 10 years ago, some of these people who may have been in that 2 a.m. friend category are now maybe more of the community or maybe even just kind of an acquaintance.
Yeah.
Because it's been a number of years since we've really connected. And and that doesn't mean that, you know, it could be all kinds of reasons.
Yeah.
A lot of it is just proximity. I mean, at least for me. Some of my closest friends in college are guys that I feel like I can pick up with, but we don't really pick up that often, you know? Mm. I mean, even just recently, there was some group text going on, but like, it's just, it's reminiscing about old stories, and it's funny. The inside jokes from 20 years ago.
Yeah.
But they're not the guys that I would call if my life's falling apart.
Yeah.
Not that I couldn't. I know I could, but I just have other people since then. So, yeah.
I heard a quote this morning that said that adult friendship is basically two people saying, oh, I haven't seen you in forever. We should hang out sometime over and over and over again until one of them dies.
Mm-hmm. Oh, wow.
So,
I didn't think it was going there.
Well, got morbid, but it is there. No, well, I'm curious, have you found it difficult to maintain friendships in these years? Like in the years where your kids are, you know, have activities and it feels like maybe you're always on the go. Like, have you found it difficult? And if so, then we'll get into like, what are ways that you've intentionally sewed into that? So start
Can I speak really quick to the best friend?
Absolutely. Oh yeah, you have an opinion on that. Yeah, I'm ready for it.
So and anyone is welcome to disagree.
This is a hot take.
Yeah, this is a hot take. That's right. So best friend is like a I don't know if it's right to say it's like a trigger word for me, but it's I think we have to be so careful when we say the word best friend, because at least what that ignites in me, and I think I've seen this in other people, including my clients, is, right, it's like this one friendship and there becomes so much expectation on that one friendship. And where I think it's easy to kind of place all of our needs on that person, for them, kind of this expectation for them to fulfill all of our needs.
Yeah.
And I wonder if a healthier perspective, and maybe not, I'm open to other thoughts on this.
Yeah, it's just a hot take. You put it on the table and you just leave it there.
That's right. Just a few close friends.
Yeah.
And I think what we see too from that exercise is, right, it's going to be less than five people. Because when we think about, especially in adulthood, and this gets to your second question, of how do we spend that time? Well, we don't have much of it whenever we have families and kids and we're taxing them and involved in their things and we're working and we don't have much of it. And so it's unrealistic to think that we can maintain close friends. And this is something I've grown in. I used to be like oh my God, I'm going to have so many friends. And then I was like, no, I cannot do this well. And so now I just have a few close friends, and that, that helps me be able to, dig into those friendships better and feel like I'm actually giving them real time versus like half of me, you know?
Yeah.
But anyway, other opinions on that?
Well, what are some of those challenges though? Like even just for you specifically in your season of life, what are some of the challenges that present themselves for you, like connecting to cultivating like deep friendships?
Sure. I think time is the biggest one. I work what feels like full time. I'll say full time.
It is full time.
And then we have three kids, and they're now in a season of life where they're busy and have activities.
Yeah.
And So Allison is a good example of, Allison's one of my, I'm looking at the camera, one of my core friends.
You just broke the fourth wall. Whoa. You're not supposed to break the fourth wall.
Oh my gosh, the comments are wild.
The comment section right now.
So sorry, and my voice.
Dude, people are like, Lindsay broke the fourth wall.
No guys, so sorry. And my voice just went really high. So if you were listening to this, that probably crushed your
The only time you break the fourth wall is if somebody says something you disagree with, and then you're just supposed to like slowly like.
Okay, well yeah, I don't do this enough to know.
Yeah, I should have, well it's my fault. I should have said it at the beginning.
Yeah, definitely your fault. You should have told.
Tanner. Okay, back to Allison. You were saying something nice.
So Allison is one of
breaking her core friends. Stopping her.
It's the second time I've like stopped a moment that was happening.
So she, she lives on the west side. We live on the east side of town,
which doesn't sound like it's far away. It's only 6 miles.
That's because it's not.
But it takes.
It's on the other side of the freeway.
We're not getting into this right now.
It takes 35 minutes.
Yeah.
To get to
the freeway.
Other.
Don't look at me like that.
And so it's
Ryan will not cross the highway. He won't even cross the highway to go to lunch in the afternoon.
That's a personal problem of his.
He won't cross to like the others. Just Whiskey Cake is like over the highway. Like
it's a lot to ask.
Especially if you're going to the mall. That's like.
Look at his eye just twitched.
Are you 100? What's happening?
You did say you're halfway there. Yes.
Back to Allison.
Lindsay.
Right.
She lives 35 minutes away.
When she says proximity.
Yeah.
Right, like that has changed for me. I think, right, like 10 years ago, I've been like, oh yeah, 30 minutes, like that proximity now is like, do I cross paths with you on a regular basis? Do you go to my kid's school? Are you on my kid's team? Are you in my small group? Are you in, like, is there some regular rhythm that we're in of seeing each other? Like those friendships are naturally a little bit easier to cultivate. So, but because of my deep love for Allison, right, is it's like we have found really creative ways to stay connected. Sometimes that takes more effort of like we're gonna drive the 35 minutes. But also, and this maybe this sounds old school, but like we actually utilize Marco Polo, which is an app that I'm sure a lot of people know out there.
The middle-aged community
probably the middle-aged community.
Middle-aged women.
I'm speaking to my middle-aged friends that use this. It's actually really helpful.
Well, and if for us, I think both of us, I'll speak for myself, seeing someone's face.
Yeah.
And how they're emotional about whatever. I mean, I have used Marco Polo when I couldn't see close friends, Lindsay included, and just cried.
Yeah.
Because it's important for me. For my friends to see where I am outside of just words, because the text just won't do it. So if I can't be face to face with someone that I'm just just feeling something really deeply, then I utilize that for myself, but also so my friend can be in it with me. And I think that's one of the, back to your question about like what is hard. I think for me, it was that sometimes you're the pursuer and sometimes you're the receiver.
That's interesting.
And that a lot of times we want to be the receiver, and that somehow tells us what type of friend the other person is.
Yeah.
And for, there have been so many times in our lives and that I've had to be the receiver because I had no bandwidth to be the pursuer. And so a lot of those, and it's not even how people show up, it's just that I just knew they were there. Like I hardly remember it, but I just remember them being there. And it wasn't forced because people were pursuing me in their gift set. A lot of times we want people to pursue us in how we would most, like would be most soul satisfying.
Yeah.
But a lot of time it's like, I love this person, this is their gift set. And to serve me in their gift set.
Yeah.
And so.
Can you give me an example of that? Put you on the spot.
Yeah, I can. I can give you a lot. One was I was on hospital bed rest for 8 weeks.
Wow.
And I had two, Lindsay was one of them actually. And this was when we were just as adult, just meeting pretty early as adult friends.
Yeah.
And, you know. In our low 30s, Tanner. And they drove up. I was at a women's hospital in Houston. Mm. And so once a week, she and a mutual friend drove into town just to, when they could, after work and everything. in the dark through tolls that they didn't need to go through. But
that's across multiple highways?
That's right. Wow. Definitely further than the west side.
Well, but for them it did, because they didn't go inside the loop much.
Yeah. True.
They were unfamiliar and it was dark. So, you know.
We're not in the suburbs anymore.
So that's an example. They came once a week up to the hospital. Another example would be Harvey. Mm. We flooded significantly, and a lot of people made lunch and dropped it.
Wow.
I didn't need lunch. But they showed up.
Just that presence.
Yeah. It's like they were serving by making lunches because everyone had small children, mm-hmm. and they wanted to serve and wanted to be there. And so they showed up with lunches, and it wasn't I didn't even eat the lunch.
Yeah.
But it was like they were serving where they had time and in their gift set. That's and good. Showing up was really big.
Yeah, that's a big deal. I know I've seen that even with you. I can attest to that too. This is like the Allison episode for a minute.
Yeah.
But I mean, I've seen that the way that you've served. We've been in small group together. We were for like, I don't know, 2 or 3 years when I first came to Creek. And the way that you've been intentional towards my own family and towards my close friends in a season where we needed it, I think it shows a recognition and intentionality that this is like you're talking about season. This is a season where I need to pursue. This is a season where I need to be present, where I need to be the one who's sowing into our relationship. But then those seasons change. I've witnessed that even with my wife. There's been a ton of times where she's showed up on your behalf now in the last 6 months or a year.
Yeah,
and
absolutely.
I think that rhythm is okay, and it's good to actually recognize, because otherwise we get into this habit of thinking that like friendships are always supposed to be other people, or we'll get tired because we're in a season of, you know, us constantly pouring into our friends, and then we feel like, man, I'm doing this, but I'm not receiving anything back.
Yeah.
So to recognize that it's seasonal.
And I think there's also seasons of pause. So I've learned a lot. You know, you talk about male friendships, and I've learned so much from probably the most about friendship from watching my husband Brad in friendship.
Yeah.
And in seasons of needing to pause when friends are fighting for marriage and we can't be a part of their lives anymore because of different things going on, and Brad's friend coming to him and being like, I can't see you guys right now.
Yeah.
And a year going by, and Brad saying, okay, we're here for you when we can be. And then his friend showing up and, you know, like a year and a half later, and us embracing, and also like, we don't have to have the conversation now, but like, we're going to have, you know, a full conversation about it, and not letting it go amiss, but also just watching Brad just be like, this is what we need to do as he fights for his marriage. And that was just one of the most impactful moments, was like, oh, this is a season of we pause and we respect boundaries. And then if or when they can come back, man, we embrace them and really celebrate that.
That's awesome.
And you still have a really strong relationship and friendship with this person.
Yeah.
And so even though you or Brad particularly didn't maybe get anything from that friendship in that year, it's now come full circle, and it's a very healthy friendship. And so knowing too that it can often return to that, even in those moments.
Yeah,
or
I mean, he showed up with a tool, full tools in hand, Harvey.
Wow.
And it was like a movie, really, but there was no music or anything.
Go figure.
It's weird, but it was just this really beautiful time where Brad, I just followed Brad's lead in how that would look. But I mean, there was deep sorrow in that wait, but there are just times in that where it's so much introspection, so much like internal work in friendships that helps.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, on that note then, sometimes there's some work to be done in our own lives that when we recognize like that we need to be better friends. Like I mentioned earlier, even doing that exercise and realizing, oh man, I'm kind of dropping the ball in some of my friendships. What are some practical ways that you guys have maybe first noticed a deficit in your own life in terms of the way that you love and care for your friends, and then ways that you've grown or intentionally tried to be a better friend to those in your lives? Can you think of any examples of that?
I think it's easy to slip into like the status quo of busyness and the time, and you know, weeks can go by pretty quickly.
Yeah.
To where you realize I really haven't spent any intentional time with people outside of almost acquaintance type of conversations. And some of those people are closer friends that you could talk to. You're just not really talking about any substantive things.
Yeah, that's true.
And so I think taking those times when you notice that to be more intentional, and it doesn't have to be, you know, major time consuming things, because if you're like, oh, well, you know, we run around to this and we have this kids tournament and this, I mean, it can be a quick coffee or lunch or just that next time when you do have those interactions with them, trying to have a little deeper conversation with them. It doesn't have to be, you know, super deep and emotional. It can just be like, hey man, like what's going on in your life? Yeah. Be like, how's family? How's this? And then following up with questions. So when someone's like, oh, it's all good, you know, you just don't settle for that.
Yeah.
You just try to have more of a check-in.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah.
Well, and you're fortunate that you work with a lot of your good friends.
Yeah. I mean, for sure.
You definitely have that proximity piece.
Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't say the best friends, but I mean,
right, not his best. No,
yeah, we did.
No, I mean,
we
clarified
that
for sure. No, I mean, I think I you know, I don't know if this is how guys are or just how I am, but I mean, I tend to be closest to people that I'm around more often, yeah. And so you know, I've been on staff for 13 years, and so a lot of those relationships, just being around each other on a weekly, daily basis for that many years, you get closer and closer and closer, and so those become your closest friends. So,
well, and I think guys can be kind of project driven too. Yeah. And so when you're working on a project with someone else, it draws you closer to them. You know, you're like, hey, we have a shared common goal or vision. So it's like, yeah, sure, we're going to build our relationship in that way, which is a part of that.
Yeah.
But there's also the flip side of that, where you can have the familiarity of commonality, of just being like, oh, I see that person every day, but I don't actually intentionally, especially even outside of work, I don't necessarily intentionally reach out to them and figure out what's going on in their life.
Yeah.
I have a close friend that I see pretty often. He's in my small group, so we regularly interact. Yeah. And the other day, it was kind of a realization of like, man, we haven't really done anything lately. And so it was like, okay, after the kids go to bed, we're going to go to one of the other person's house and start a, you know, fire in the backyard. Mm. Just, for whatever reason, guys like to start fires. Yes.
I love fires. Always good.
It brings people together. Always a good
idea. But it was like, you know, 8 o'clock, our kids were in bed, threw up a projection of the Astros game on the side of his garage and just, you know, sat and chatted for a little bit. And so just little things like that that we can do that, like you're saying, are the kind of the next step of intentionality outside of just like, yeah, I saw you. Like, I see you all the time, right. So we're fine, you know?
That's so true.
And another thing I think about that, I love that you said that, because that was sacrificial for Aaron and Tanner's wife and
things. Yeah, we need
like
some context for the viewers and listeners here.
Sorry. I think supporting, if you have a partner, if you have a spouse, supporting their friendships too.
Yeah.
Because that can feel exhausting. I know for me, it's important that I help Brad carve time, because I think he sometimes doesn't see the time in our schedule when he could do that. And so helping him carve time and also working on our friendship, I think, is one of the things we talked about. Like, I know I ask Brad, like, hey, what do you need from me right now?
Yeah.
Like, how are you? And I do the same with my female friends. Mm. And like, how can I be a better friend to you right now? What are you needing this week and things like that? I think that can be part of we talk about what can I do, right? Like, what's the action associated with this? And it's asking questions and then responding and in that way.
I'm going to go back to something you just said a second ago, which I think is helpful. You said that Brad doesn't necessarily see, you know, the time in your schedule like you do. I think that's actually pretty profound, because different people see a calendar different ways. I joke about this in my family all the time.
You and I see a calendar the same way.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, some people are more wired to see it in like 30-minute increments, you know? I've got, let's see, 25. I've got 48 30-minute increments in my day. That's a lot of windows to do things, you know? And I joke that my wife sees it in two. Like, it's morning and it's evening. Yeah. And if one of those is full, then the day is full. And for me, if I've got one 30-minute block empty, then I'm like, well, there's still time in this day. And
do you think that has something to do, though, too, with, like, just people's bandwidth? Like, where they are?
I think it has to do with, like, emotional health. Mm-hmm. She's a lot more emotionally healthy than I am, probably.
Personality types.
It's all that stuff. Yeah.
Extroversion. Yeah.
Yeah. And well, and a lot of it, I'm not saying that my way is the better way. A lot of the times
It's not.
I overextend myself.
Got it.
Whereas when you preserve your, like, we're all sitting here talking about how it can be hard to maintain friendships because life is busy.
Yeah.
Well, why is that? Well, because we see our calendar and like, oh, how many of these can I fill up?
I can give you an example of that with Tanner because he's like a surfer.
Time optimist.
And he'll be like, hey, I should learn how to surf.
I'm not sure what else surfer could mean in this context.
Like, I didn't know
he gets on the internet, browses around.
I spend a lot of time just on Google,
No, retreat, he'll like, guys, we've got like 10 minutes.
Yeah, so that's what he'll do. So I'll be like, hey, man, like you should teach me to surf sometime. And he's like, hey, man, the waves are going to be good tomorrow morning. We can go at like 7. We could be in the office by 9. And I'm like, what? I can't.
Yeah.
I'm not just going to go and surf for like 30 minutes.
Sure, you could.
And then come back to work.
You know what? Maximize your life. Yeah. Seize the day.
Awesome.
Yeah.
I'm really curious about you being a surfer. I'm going to take the day off
but from there that. Is, I mean, it's like, I don't, you know.
Nah,
you
why would you do that?
And, but there really is some beauty about that too, though, because that, right, like our, I think oftentimes our biggest excuse is that we just don't have time.
Yeah.
But if we do learn to look at it differently or even just say 10 minutes of reaching out and sending a text to a friend and saying, how are you doing? And having a conversation, like that can go a long way. That can mean a lot to somebody. And so,
I brought that up because helping even your spouse with that is the reason that I took note of that. Cause you talking about doing that for Brad made me realize like, man, that's something I need to do for Aaron to just say like, hey, you know, here's our week. And especially being sensitive even to the way that she views that, because she's not going to think there's an open night. She's like, an open night, thank God.
I can see that.
And so for me to be more sensitive to that, to say like, okay, there's 3 open nights. Let me keep those nights open and pick one of them and say, go out with your friends. Like, go do something. Mm-hmm. Just be blessed to do that because she's a giver. And so she doesn't always think about that. So that's just I think that's really helpful. Thank you for saying that. And that could be helpful for those that are listening that are like, man, my spouse struggles with friendship. Well, find a way to help and bless them to go and live into those friendships.
Yeah. I think another practical thing that we, I guess everyone here has done is like trying to like vacation with people that you know. And it doesn't have to be exotic, expensive vacations, like we're all going to get on a plane and go to Bali or something.
Yeah. Ooh, Bali.
That's a great idea.
But we should do that. Yeah. I'm on Southwest right now.
But even just like, you know, us and some other people, we've gone camping together. And that's hugely impactful for just adults to be together, kids to be running around. And, you know, I feel like Lindsay has a lot of little getaways with girls or... Mm. All right.
She didn't seem so sure about that. Okay. You might need to look at the calendar and bless her to go.
Okay, you leave in like 2 days, but
yeah, that's fine.
But I haven't done that in a long time.
Okay, well, but I mean, you know, just trying to find some of those times where you know we do have family vacations where we go do things, but then also you know trying to find other people you can go do stuff with as well.
Yeah. Yeah. That's helpful. Okay, so on that note, let's just talk for a minute because we're almost out of time. But let's talk for a minute about recreation because I think all of us at this table, and some people are more inclined towards that than others, but play, it just sounds it sounds weird to say this, but like...
That's why.
Playing together.
Playing together.
Well, I saw I forget what it was, a post or something the other day. You know, it's like one of those things that's like, oh, there was a time when you went outside and played in the front yard or like played outside with your childhood friends together and it was the last time you ever did that. And I was like, no, there wasn't. Like, I still go outside and play with my friends. I mean, that doesn't, not in that way where I'm like in the front yard building
the
a sandcastle.
Mud
right. Yeah, but I'm just thinking like, I mean, I was with my small group guys yesterday and we had our small group time. And we were at Saloon Door West, and then right next door is like a disc golf putting course. And we just took 15 minutes to go do that. I'm like, I still play outside with my friends.
Yeah.
Childish maybe as that sounds. So let's talk about some fun memories or ways that you guys have experienced great friendship in the avenue of recreation.
You ladies are doing some recreation right now. Not like why
so
as you speak.
So one thing I think, one thing I love to bring to my small group and friendships is I tend to, I want people to feel the way I see them or feel about them the way I see them. And if I see them, they can be, you know, I like, oh, I see the silly in you. Let's play games at small group. I see this in you. Also, I see that you can do hard things.
Yeah.
So what do you think about doing this hard thing? And so we are, yeah, we're doing a really hard thing. We're hiking Grand Canyon rim to rim in a day.
Nice.
And
you know, about time with your friends, 5 hours of walking.
Yeah. That's incredible.
That's just for the training.
Just for the training.
Yeah, it's going to take you way more than 5 hours when you do it.
Right, yes, we know that.
How long is it supposed to He had to mansplain that for you real quick.
It was for the listeners. They're like, oh, wow, it only takes 5 hours.
Rim to rim?
Rim to rim.
Really moving.
There's going to be a lot more time together.
No, so that, and that's just what, yeah, the training's extensive, but it's 24 miles, and it'll take us less than 12 hours, but 12 to 16 is average. Yeah,
it's a big hole. I don't know if you've seen it.
I haven't.
It's a real big
hole. I've heard of it. I've heard
stories. You gotta go down it and back up it.
Yeah, but for me, a big part of friendship is just adventure.
Yeah.
Doing hard things, being with women who, in particular for me, women who just crave that as well. And it's not a popular it's not something, there aren't a lot of people who would be like, yeah, Allison, that sounds great.
Yeah.
But the women who are doing it, their first response was, yeah, I'm in.
Yeah, for
and
sure.
So that'll be extremely memorable as we hike out of the canyon.
That'd be awesome.
But yeah, just I think it's finding also looking in yourself and like, what do I like?
Yeah.
I think it can be so hard to actually know. I know as a mom, a wife, all these things that we have, and men too, as dads, as husbands, it's hard to sit back and be like, what do I like?
Yeah.
And what do I like to do? And how am I going to do this in friendship as well? Like, let's bring people into this. And that's where it's like there are also so many pockets of friends. Like I have friends who don't want to hike the Grand Canyon, but we have a blast playing soccer or doing coffee or all kinds of different things. It's like understanding that there are people like just people are wanting to do things that are fun.
Yeah, for
and
sure.
Recreation. And it's like meeting people like what's their fun? Mm-hmm. What's this person's fun? It doesn't have to be this crazy thing.
Well, Allison's taught me a lot about everything that she's talking about right now. But even, like, she brings an element to fun wherever she is. Like, she's the minute-to-win-it queen.
Yeah. That's true. I've experienced that.
Yes, right? In small group or just having friends over for a game night. And because I do think I have found that when you ask women in particular, particularly ones that are feeling really stretched with their time, whether that's they're raising a family or they're working a lot or whatever.
Yeah.
And you ask them what their hobbies are.
They're like, what hobbies?
That's not like an enjoyable question usually to answer.
That.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I was like, I don't know. Like
taking my kids back and forth this stuff.
Right.
Yeah.
Like
going to the bathroom. It's a great hobby when I have a chance to do that every once in a while.
Exactly. Exactly. And so I think it is maybe another way to think about that is just how can you bring in some elements of fun or relaxation or what are the things that you used to enjoy that when and what does it look like to engage in some of those things now?
One of the things I'm picking up from this, and it's actually things I see in all three of you, are just the intentionality of thinking about the other person. So if there's somebody in your life that you're like, man, I want to grow my relationship with that person, then think about what they enjoy. And if they're like, I don't even know what I enjoy, then think about what they, like you're saying, they did or they could or a way to make them smile or serve them or help them laugh or whatever. Yeah. And then when you're around that person, and I really have experienced this with each of you, just the ability to look at someone and say, tell me more about that. Tell me more about you. Tell me about, we said it, you jokingly said it as we were getting started, like, oh, I want to hear about your friendships. I'm like, sorry, I'm hosting, so there's no,
share.
Yeah, but if you ask, but, you know.
But being curious about other people goes a really long way.
Yes. Well, a friend of mine used to call it being, or he still does, call it being interested as opposed to being interesting. Then in conversation, the attempt is not, how can I make people go like, oh, wow, you're so fascinating.
Yeah.
But instead, you're like, oh, tell me more about that thing that is a struggle for you or that thing that is awesome for you or that thing that's going on in your life right now. Let me hear more about that.
Well, and Bruce talked about that in this past sermon, right, about whatever quote he used of when you ask somebody, how are you doing, to like, do you actually wait and listen for the answer?
Yeah.
And I think if we're honestly asking us ourselves that question. A lot of times we don't.
Yeah.
It's just kind of this question we ask. And so what does it look like to be, right, like genuinely, is that right?
Yeah.
Interested in other people. Sure. But I keep thinking too about those that are listening that are just feeling very lonely.
Yeah.
Because, right, we talked about that as well in this past sermon, that loneliness is an epidemic and that it is equivalent to smoking 15 packs of cigarettes a day in terms of what it does to your health, your overall health. And when we talk about health, right, we look at the whole person, physically, emotionally, mentally, spiritually. And so I think that's part of, I don't know, is that part of what spurred on this series? Maybe it was the spiritual disciplines is what spurred on this series.
No, it was that.
I mean, it's a cultural reality.
The tagline is deep relationships in an age of loneliness.
Yeah. Age of loneliness.
And so,
yeah.
I mean, that's what it came
And so I think we can make an assumption that a lot of people listening are feeling very lonely.
Right.
Because, right, that's, didn't he say like just a little less than 50% of people?
Yeah, 50% of adults like report to being lonely. Yeah.
And I see that in just small group. I see that in the world. I see that in my clients.
Yeah.
I see that. And so it can be overwhelming to think, right, like where do I start in making friendships? There's a book that I read a couple years ago, not like promoting her or any necessarily for stuff, but it's written by Jenny Allen and it's called Find Your People.
Yeah.
And it was really helpful because she talks about like, first you just need to look around you. You know, who are those acquaintances?
Yep.
Who are those 70 people that you're running into at the store, at the soccer field, or at your workplace, or wherever you are? And just identify one or two that you're like, man, that person's always stuck out to me.
That's good.
And I'd like to get to know them better. And that means that you have to put forth that effort in forging that friendship. I think we expect so often that friendships are just going to happen to us.
Right.
That absolutely does not. It does not happen that way. All of the friendship I have currently in my life are because I have put forth effort into them.
Yeah.
And not always done that well.
Yeah.
But they usually survive because that intentionality was there at some point. And so that's my encouragement, I think, to those that are listening that are feeling lonely, of just know that it is possible for you too, and that we all have to start somewhere. And what does it look like to be courageous or brave and just ask that person how they're doing or invite them to do something with you?
Gosh,
it doesn't work the first or second time, try again.
Yep.
Keep trying.
Because you have value. I think you're going to put yourself out there, but you have value.
Yep.
And you are this beautiful creation, and you just matter.
Yeah.
And people want to know you, really. And that was an all call I had to my small group, because we talked about loneliness this past week and what it looked like for everyone. And for me, and I'll put myself out there, loneliness looks like being misunderstood or being unseen. And when I have friends tell me how they see me, it is like, they send the sermon. I cannot discern between love and being seen in that most authentic way. And I just want people to know that they matter.
That's so good.
And that when people do open themselves up to you, to just be that trustworthy person.
Yeah.
They're putting themselves out there. Just be that person.
That's so good. And I'll ask one last question for all of us, but on that same note, I mean, the reason that we feel that is because we are created in the image of God, and God exists within this beautiful community, Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. So we're designed for those kinds of relationships, deep relationships where people can see one another, where people know are actually deeply known and loved by one another. And so I'm going to ask just for each of us a quick example of how, because of the way that you're created, because of the creator that you serve, how has friendship affected your faith in some way? But I'm gonna answer first to give you time, because I'm springing that question on you. So we had some friends like you were talking about just being intentional, who years ago, just kind of out of the blue, a couple that asked Aaron and I, hey, can we take y'all to dinner? And they did it a few times, and it grew our relationship, because they just, of their own volition, were like, hey, we want to take you out to dinner, spend time together, like, love you, serve you. And I mean, for years, we had a really, really, really close relationship because of their intentionality. And we walked through some difficult stuff during that season, my wife and I. We had back-to-back miscarriages, a daughter born with an illness, and they lived overseas. Mm. And every single week, we would FaceTime because it was the way to communicate, the only way we could. And the way that they loved and cared for us through that season for us of grief, I mean, it changed the way that we connected with God during that time. Because it would have been easy for us, based on the struggle we were going through, based on even just the state I was in as a person, to have kind of pushed God away. But because people were, you know, the hands and feet of Christ to us during that season and showed us deep, real friendship, we interacted even with Jesus in a different way during that season. So that's my example. We'll go around and then we'll wrap it up.
That's beautiful. Yeah.
Doesn't have to be in order.
Yeah, I'll go. For me, it has been when I've gone through a conflict with a friend, when they have had to tell me some hard things about me.
Yeah.
And that they sat in it long enough to reconcile.
Oh, wow, that's good.
And that's just a beautiful picture for me of what our relationship with God is. Like, He is sitting with us.
Yeah.
And it's not waiting 2 weeks to talk about it. It's not dropping a bomb and saying, you did this.
Yeah.
I'm going to wait for me to be ready to have this conversation. It's like having just really hard things said to me and just the Holy Spirit grabbing hold of me in that moment and being able to listen and then also reconcile. Yeah. And the person just giving me a chance to hear like my heart behind it or just be so sorry or whatever it is. And just that reconciliation it's just the picture that I hope everyone has for their relationship with the Lord. And it's been, that's for me, friendship. Like the deepness in friendship has been through that someone's told me something, been real hard.
Yeah.
But because of the Holy Spirit, been prompted to be like, okay, tell me more about that. How has that impacted you? How can I do that differently? And then just sitting in it for reconciliation without months going by and things like that, just like loving me enough to be there and reconcile through it.
Gosh, that's so good. That reminds me of the proverb that says, the kisses from an enemy are deceitful, but faithful are the wounds of a friend. Yeah.
Got goosebumps.
Proverbs goosebumps.
I feel things big for anyone who's never met me before.
Faithful are the wounds of a friend.
I feel big.
You know where that is in Proverbs?
Nope.
Okay. Faithful are the wounds of a friend. I'm going to look that up.
Early. It's probably not. It was actually just a fortune cookie I got.
No, it is a proverb. I just don't know.
It is a proverb. Thanks, guys.
Right.
I'm going to read it. I mean,
if I could piggyback off of that, not to steal Allison's answer, but I actually would say my answer is really similar. I think friendships have had, I mean, so much to do with my spiritual growth because in real friendship, right, there's this level of accountability. Yeah. Accountability coming with grace, grace upon grace upon grace, I think is the big key there. And most of my friends, or all of my friends that would be in that, like, 2 a.m. friends, is that what we're calling them? I have at
Man,
some point.
Man, the disdain you have for that exercise.
Clear Creek has literally talked about 2 a.m. friends since inception. And you're like, is that what we're calling them now?
I know, and I grew up in Clear
Creek. I'm messing with you.
But I couldn't remember what the paper said.
Yeah, the paper.
But all of those friends that I would put in there, I have had conflict with at some point. And that has done nothing but spur me on in my faith.
Yeah.
And like Allison's saying, conflict with reconciliation. And what I think that does in friendship when you go through something like that is it creates a safety within that friendship that I can trust that with this friend that if I do something that is going to hurt their feelings or upset them in some way and I'm unaware of it, I can trust that they are going to come to me instead of harboring that or that growing into a bitterness or contempt or resentment of some sort, that they're going to come to me and that we're going to be able to reconcile that.
Yeah.
versus the feeling of walking along eggshells with friends, or am I hurting their feelings, or I don't know what they're thinking, or do they like me, or do they, like, those thoughts are at rest with those friends.
Yeah.
But it's because we've been through hard things together.
Yeah.
Or we have spoken in truth, but in love to each other. And sometimes that's hard to hear. And so that has gone a long way in my spiritual growth, and sometimes helping me see things in myself that I haven't been able to see otherwise.
That's so good.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I'd say being in community has always been a big part of my faith. I mean, I came to faith within a friend group. I mean, it was kind of like God brought me to this group of friends. That's how I came to faith when I was a freshman in college. And then I walked through college with that same group of friends that encouraged me and helped me grow. Lindsay and I, we got married. We went overseas for a year. I went to seminary. I went to seminary with another like group of really close friends. Some of them from, or most of them from college.
Yeah.
So to like learn in the seminary environment within a group of friends was hugely impactful. Then being here for 13 years at Clear Creek, I mean, it's like I'm working with close friends. Because we just enjoy a lot of longevity. I mean, people are, it's not like, you know, someone works here for a little bit and they bounce off to somebody. I mean, 13 years is nothing compared to most people on staff, it seems like.
And that's, I mean, really long compared to most churches.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Absolutely. And so, I mean, you know, we celebrate 20 years, it seems like, for different people all the time. Oh, and 20 years, cool.
We're having lunch
again. Yeah. So, that's just a big deal that, like, you have that many people who've been around for a long time. So, so that's
that means you're doing something to love each other and respect each other well, even like in the workplace.
Being friends.
Well, that's the thing. So it's like, so you know, this isn't just a job. You know, this is faith. This is walking with Jesus. Mm-hmm. And so I get to walk with people and work with those same people on a regular basis. And so that's a big deal. Being here for 13 years, we've been in a number of different small groups. And so I'd say all those people are somewhere in one of those circles. You know, some of them are acquaintances, some of them are friends, some of them are, you know, 2 a.m. friends.
Yeah.
And so it's always been a matter of walking in community with other people and having friends. So, yeah.
That's so good. This has been a good conversation. We like have been here for a long time, and I just looked down at the clock and was like, oh my goodness, but it's because we could do this all day. It's fun to hang out with friends. So I hope this podcast has inspired you to go and pursue
some friendships.
Forage for some friendships for some of you. Oh my gosh. Dude, we were picking on him so hard the other day because I swear he said that from stage. Foraging friendships. I like literally looked at the band and was like,
no, I promise he said it. It just sounds so similar.
It does.
But Courtney also thinks I say my name wrong. I say Nudie Creek instead of Nudie Creek.
Yeah,
I say all Nudie kinds
Creek.
Of stuff.
The other day he said Brian Leighton. Hello, I'm Brian Leighton.
Oh, your first name wrong, not even your last name.
Anyways, we're going to wrap this up. Anyway,
you're going to leave it with that.
I'm going to lead it with no reconciliation there.
We'll reconcile off camera.
Brian says things weird. It's fine. We'll talk about it in therapy later. So
that's right.
Thank you guys so much for being on this podcast with me. I appreciate each of you. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you so much for listening today. We hope this conversation was helpful. If you want to watch a video of this podcast or share it with a friend, you can find it at clearcreekresources.org, where you can also find articles, music, and a lot more. Again, thanks for joining the Clear Creek Resources podcast. See you next time.